Good morning, friends. Let's open up Luke 19, 1 through 10. You'll find it in your Bibles, but I've got it right up here, too. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector and was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. And so he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, because Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." And so Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. And all who saw what happened began to grumble and said, "Jesus has gone off to be a guest of one who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood there and said to Jesus, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because Zacchaeus too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Zacchaeus, in some ways, is kind of a cartoon character in the Bible. And this has happened for many because of a children's song we sang as kids, or maybe I know it's still being sung in some places in vacation Bible schools. I wonder if you know this song. Did you know these? Now there was a day when everyone, oh yes, fabulous. But the thing was, is kids and adults heard that song and all they heard was he was a wee little man and he was short and they kind of stopped there. Because it's kind of fun to say wee little man and do some motions. But what happens with that is we kind of leave Zacchaeus in this cartoon character and think it's all about being short. I think of once a friend told me a story about a Halloween party. A church was trying to meld Halloween and Old Saints Day. You know, can imagine how well that went. You got to dress up as your favorite biblical character or a saint or a person of faith. So, you know, there were like 12 Marys and there was a Joseph or two, and maybe a Moses and a Sarah and a couple Mother Teresas and some Martin Luthers. Well, that was the pastor's kid. The pastor made him dress up in a robe and wear this weird hat on his head. Not so popular. But there was one kid who basically came dressed as himself, had some papers tucked in a pocket up here, and the pastor said, "What are you?" And he goes, "Really, I'm Zacchaeus." And she says, "Why?" And he goes, "Because I'm short." And the pastor said, "Tell me about those papers." And he goes, "I don't know, my mother made me put in my pocket, it's a W-40 form." He just thought short was good and that's what he was going to be. I think it was a great costume, but I wish that kid really would have known a bit more about Zacchaeus. Because the truth is, this is a provocative story. This is a story that's rather radical in a lot of ways. It's about a total transformation of a man and holds out the promise that there can be transformation in us. Jericho, you know about Jericho, or if you don't, you're going to know about Jericho now. It was a city of abundance. There was an abundance of food and water and merchandise, and it was just bustling, a lot going on there. And so it was a wealthy town, and wealthy towns attracted money. It was also on the way of a camel caravan, so things were always going in and out of the city. It was during the time of Roman occupation, and you probably know how taxes worked in that day. The Romans came in, they occupied the land, they took away what they wanted, and then they demanded a tax for that privilege. And how they raised taxes was they said to someone, you're a tax collector, you get the money for us. We don't pay you, you get what other profit you can get. So you'd get the tax for the occupiers and you'd extort what you could to make your money. And Zacchaeus, well, you can tell every tax collector therefore was seen as corrupt, as a betrayer of the people, as someone who could not be trusted. Because you made your money by stealing from your own people. And Zacchaeus was no ordinary tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. That means he was the head honcho in Jericho. And he probably had to pay for that privilege from the Romans. And then everyone was under him. And they'd have to give him money. So you know he was a really good tax collector. And you can imagine that he was also hated by his fellow Jewish people. He was seen as a turncoat. He turned on his people. And they probably had to deal with him with their teeth clenched, knowing how much power he had, but hating him all the same. I mean, he may have had the luscious housing in town, the finest clothes, every kind of delight of food that came his way, but he was small in respect. He was small in the way he was counted by other people, rich, but small in people's eyes. He was an outsider to his own people, and he was an outsider to the Romans because they only saw him as a Jew. And then, ironically, his name, Zacchaeus, means justice or righteous one. When his parents had him dedicated, named, they thought this will be one who will lead the people, will reflect God's ways. And there he was, the chief tax collector. And I'm caught by, there was something about this man that wanted to see Jesus. That is clear. He had heard something about Jesus. And the crowds were coming, and he went to join the crowds. And what they say about Zacchaeus, they say he's short in stature, but it can also be translated as least, small in stature. And you know that word in the Bible has a special meaning. The least of these. It's used often to refer to children. You know when the people said, when the disciples said, there's children that want to see you, but we're not going to let them bother you. They're not important. Jesus said, no, these children, these least of these, let them come on to me, for in my eyes, they are everything. So it's an interesting word here, small in stature, but also like a child. And I think in some ways, climbing up in that tree was a childlike thing to do. I mean, really, if he was a wealthy man of the day, I imagine he was what they would call cheerfully chubby. You know, when you get enough food, you start getting that little pot belly when you're a man of a certain age, and you start wearing clothes to cover it, and you kind of walk slowly because you can. And I imagine this is the one that decided to climb a tree. Now, I was a fine tree climber when I was a girl, but I am not built for that anymore. So you put Zacchaeus, cheerfully chubby, decides to get up in the tree. That's a childlike move. He doesn't care what he's looking like getting up there. There's potential for humiliation all over there, but he wants to see Jesus because he knows he's too short to see over the massive crowds, and no one's going to give him room to get a good view when your name is Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. And so that's pretty amazing right there. And he gets up in this tree and probably situates himself. And then Jesus stops right in front of that tree and looks up to him and says, hurry up and come down, because I am going to eat at your house today. I'm going to stay at your house. And Zacchaeus' response is amazing. He hurries down out of the tree, and you know it wasn't graceful, and is happy to have him. I'm just amazed at that. He didn't make any plans. He didn't, you know, get the good food and get ready for him. He's just happy to have Jesus at his house. I mean, he is hospitality being lived. This outsider says, okay, yay, you're coming. And I think about a friend who once told me the story. He was a country pastor, and he was in a small town where you were expected to visit all the church people, like regularly, like they wanted to see you weekly. And there was one family in the church, and they were good people. You know, they had the, I think he was a bank president, and you know, they were maybe clerk of session, and she ran the Sunday school, the kind of people you want to have in a church. And they said, you can come visit us, but we need a week notice. And so he'd give them notice and he'd go, and they'd sit in the parlor with the plastic covered furniture, and they would drink tea out of teacups that his fingers really didn't go in the handles, and they'd have cookies. And everyone seemed to be relieved when the pastor said, I have to go. And then there was another family that we pastors called C&E pastors. They come Christmas and Easter if you're lucky. And they said, you can come anytime you want. My house is going to be a mess, but you are welcome to it. And so he did. He would just come over, and whatever they were doing, they'd have him join in. They were washing a car, they'd give him a sponge. Mama was shucking peas, she'd give him a bowl and tell him to set to work. If they were about to eat, they would always make a place for him at the table. That was hospitality in its fullest. That's the kind of hospitality that Zacchaeus, this hated man, showed Jesus. This outsider made him room. And I have to say, I'm amazed by what happens after. Do you notice, he's not even the house yet, and Zacchaeus starts making these statements. He said, he just stood there they are, and said, I'm going to give half my possessions to the poor. I mean, it's spontaneous, and it's wildly extravagant and generous. I mean, he knew the Bible like we read out of Isaiah today. Learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, care for the poor. I'm going to give half my money to the poor. It's in the Bible. He's got it. Something about him just says, I'm going to give half my income away. Well, he must have had a lot of income because he's given half away. And then he says this really radical thing. He admits that he's been a thief. If I have defrauded anyone, well, of course, he's really saying, all those people I defrauded, I'm going to give them voluntarily four times what I took from them. So he's admitting he's just not really wealthy, and a great tax collector. He admits he's a thief and that he's going to give all the people he took money from wrongly four times back. That is radical restitution. It's generous restitution. Restitution in biblical understanding, 20% would have been enough. I took $100, I'm going to give you $120 back. Just a little bit, but he said four times as much. I mean, it is a sacrifice. He's putting himself probably into poverty, or at the very least, he's lost his job as chief tax collector with a move like that. Jesus evoked that response from him. But here's the radical part. Jesus loved him and called him down before he gave any of that money away. Did you notice that? It wasn't like after they had the whole big meal and Jesus told him who he was and how much he was loved. It's right out of the tree. He says, I'm going to give it all away. See, Zacchaeus came out of curiosity, and Jesus came to him in love and loved him before he changed. See, we don't always like that. We want you to meet Jesus and then change afterwards. Not, after you've gotten it, he just met him and gave it all away. And Jesus loved him and called him son of Abraham. You're the kind I came to seek and the ones I came to find. You know, the crowds were thrilled. They said, yay, you're changing Zacchaeus. Really not. It's not in there. They start grumbling. It's like, why is he eating with people like that? Really? We got some good people here. And our furniture is covered with plastic. It's lovely. They're grumbling at this. You think they would have been saying, yay, look, we're going to get our money back. But that's another sermon and I don't really know it. But there was something in the meeting of Jesus that transformed Zacchaeus. And if you were a scholar, which I'm not, but I can read their books, there's something when he promises to do those things, it means he's really done it. It's called a future perfect promise. It's not like someone could say, can you really say maybe he didn't give it away? The text here says, yes, he did. He gave it away. It was a promise that would happen. So if you encounter the living Christ, something changes in you. It's not just lovely words, it's change of how you act and what you do. David Losey put it this way: I would suggest that no person has had an authentic encounter with a living Christ unless a generous heart is a result. Please don't tell me how much you love Jesus. Instead, show me your 1040 form and show me the details of your charitable deductions. Tell me how you spend your free time and let me see what matters to you. Fill me out and on your retirement plan so I'm going to see where you're going to spend your time and where your money goes when you die. I suggest an authentic encounter with the living Christ results in a generous heart. I love this story, but it also makes me a bit sad because I'm not sure I have the courage to respond like this, or that really honestly I have often, because this restorative justice, this generous justice and restitution is stunning. I mean, it's hard enough for me to admit that I have done things wrong or I've made mistakes, but this was saying, you make it right. You go to those people, you change your ways. But then I don't remember that he's not doing this on his own. He's doing this with Christ. He's doing this because he's encountered that man, this is possible. And so when we confess of sins and we change lives, we do it together. Not all at once, reformed and reforming always. It happens in community. And sometimes, friends, even I am surprised by restorative justice and restitution. It happened last week. Me, who thinks I've seen everything, a friend came to me at the old church retreat and said, Maggie, did you know Princeton Theological Seminary? I said, yes. She goes, let me finish my sentence. Princeton Theological Seminary, just for background, is the Presbyterian seminary. It's the oldest. It's got more money than anyone else. If you go there, it is something to brag about. She said, that seminary, Maggie, has just put out a news release admitting their role in slavery and giving $27 million to address this. They admitted after a two-year historical audit that they had ties with slavery and they had benefited from the slave economy. Though their buildings were not built by slaves, through investments in southern banks, their seminary in those early days profited from slavery. And their founders and their first presidents and faculty all used slave labor at one time. And while their first professors knew slavery was wrong, they still supported something called the American Colonization Society, which meant blacks go back to Liberia and the whites will have this. And they started telling these stories in depth. And this report that they wrote was an act of confession. These responses are intended as an act of repentance, said the seminary, that will last and be a leading impact on our community. It's the beginning of the process to repair what will be ongoing. Can you imagine this institution that didn't need to own any of the stuff, that didn't need to say anything, well, no one was going to call them out, admit they had a role in slavery, and they had white privilege and racial injustice that they had been carrying on for centuries. And they've got a long-term plan on this. They're giving scholarships to blacks and people of need. They're renaming libraries. They're bringing scholars in. They're going to learn. And they admit this is not enough. Can you imagine that? And they're doing this because they think the God of love has called them to new life and a transformation. Even grumpy old me can be surprised by how people have the courage to respond in God's love. And I think of that little boy who dressed up like Zacchaeus on Halloween, not a bad way to go. Maybe this is a new life that we try on too, to be one who is curious and one who is open and one that shows hospitality and then has a life transformed piece by piece, little bit by little bit. Because, friends, we are loved by God. Loved by God even before we change. But who celebrates when we do? May it be so. Amen.